Our text this morning is taken from the 13th chapter of the letter to the Hebrews, beginning with verse 7. Remember those who rule over you, who have spoken the word of God to you, whose faith follow, considering the outcome of their conduct. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Do not be carried about with various and strange doctrines. These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would increase our faith through them. Amen. Dear fellow redeemed in Christ, a number of years ago, as I was on another college campus and happened to run across a large statue that they had on this campus, erected to one of the great Lutheran confessors of the truth here in the United States. And I remember being kind of stunned to see this, and someone that I had always had such high regard for myself, one of the great fathers of the faith in the 1800s. But it suddenly struck me that the very campus that this statue was on now stood for and promoted and taught things that clearly went away from the very faith that this man once professed. And I thought how sad to have a statue of him here on the campus. And yet if he were here today in person to listen to some of the things being taught in the classrooms, he would be appalled. The very faith that and the very theology that he stood for and sacrificed for and helped to establish this institution around is now being belittled and targeted on that same campus. We can erect empty, meaningless statues to historical figures in the church, and we can give them meaningless honor. But based upon this text, God would have us instead give the proper honor and the proper respect to these previous confessors of the faith in our background. And to imitate the faith that they delivered, the faith that was delivered to the saints and that they, the saints, continued to deliver to others in this world, the saving doctrine of Christ. Our text says again, remember those who rule over you. That doesn't mean in an oppressive way, but those who taught you the word of God. Remember those who rule over you, who have spoken the word of God to you, whose faith follow, considering the outcome of their conduct. God does not encourage us to an empty, meaningless, simply historical remembrance and recognition of things in his church and to the leaders of his church. And any leader in the church who seeks that kind of glory demonstrates that their heart is in the wrong place. The true confessors and professors of the faith of Christ in this world discourage this type of meaningless, shallow human honor. God would rather have us identify the very substance of the faith that came from their mouths and out of their hands through the pens on the page. God would have us look at the substance of the faith that the Holy Spirit worked in their hearts that caused them to be such great confessors and ones who stood so boldly for the truth of God. This is the aspect of this we are to find and to follow. Throughout history, God has laid down into this sinful world that's full of such death. God has stretched across the cavern of sin that we live in this beautiful red rope of rescue, stained with the blood of Christ shed on the cross for each one of us. And no matter where you are in the chronology of human history, no matter where you are standing in that sin-infested pool of death in this world, in the chronology of time, that rope is brought before you by the work of the Holy Spirit. And it is his work in our hearts that causes our dead hands to grab hold in faith and believe and trust in that Savior. And this is the wonderful continuity of the church and of the doctrine of the church, the gospel of the church, that God has stretched out throughout human history, starting with Adam and Noah, whose hands held on to that blood-stained rope. Likewise to Abraham and to Isaac and to Jacob, to Isaiah, to Peter, to Paul, to St. Augustine, to Luther, to Walther, to other great teachers and confessors in the church who held tightly and firmly to that only saving rope. We can take pride in being heirs of the Reformation, but may it always be for the reasons that our Lord gives us here in this text, to follow their faith. Not simply to live in the glow of that great Clint Eastwood moment where Luther stands at the Diet of Worms. Not simply to identify ourselves because somehow we are connected to those great confessors at Augsburg who were willing to bow before the emperor to have their heads taken off, but rather clinging to the very faith and the Christ that they professed that moved them toward these great historical moments, honoring the faith and the Christ that the Holy Spirit worked in their hearts and has now worked in our hearts by his word. St. Paul wrote to the Corinthians, "Let him who glories glory in the Lord." Not just in our tradition, not just in our heritage, but let us glory in the Lord that may come to us through our tradition and our heritage. And then alone will we properly be honoring these great leaders of the faith. It's interesting that in all these great moments in church history, back at the time of the Reformation or pick any other moment in the history of the church, we see these often these very poignant moments when historical figures stand and make a bold profession of their faith, a faith that's worth dying for. The faith of Stephen, who was martyred to hold on to that red rope of Christ. True faith today penetrates beyond the veneer of earthly praise for church heroes, penetrates through the wrappings of historical sentimentality, and wants to find Jesus, wants to find Christ. Just as the Canaanite woman who appeared to be put off by Jesus' remarks, just as that Canaanite woman willingly let herself be thought of in the category of a dog and kept hunting and hunting to find a gracious God, that's how true faith also hunts in this world. It hunts through the pages of history. It hunts through the traditions of the church. It hunts through its music, through its liturgies, through the writings of the fathers. I must find him, it says. I must have Jesus. I must have Christ. He alone can pull me from the mire of my sin. Years ago, the first year that I was in the ministry, I went to attend a conference in Indianapolis, which was supposed to be a Christian conference on helping various church leaders deal with young people and various aspects of working with young people. I sat in their classrooms of this conference for 5 full days and attended many of the speakers in the evenings and so on. And I never once heard Christ mentioned as my Savior. Never once. The Bible was held high, Bible passages were quoted, but the gospel never once was spoken in 5 full days of a conference, a Christian conference. And it gave me a new, true appreciation, different appreciation for the Reformation and for the Lutheran heritage I had been blessed to grow up in. Yes, you can find the gospel, you can find Christ in other professions in the world, and in other confessions, and in other church bodies. Yes, you can. There will be non-Lutherans in heaven, believe it or not. But I have yet to see a church body and a confession that presents Christ, that lays the red rope, the saving blood-stained rope of Christ out so clearly to its people as does this precious heritage we've been given. May we preserve this for our children and their children. A great Norwegian bishop by the name of Bishop Locke wrote this once about this text. Our teachers pass away. He, that is Christ, remains. The apostles are dead. The fathers are dead. Those who supported us in our youth are dead. Our faithful and pious old leaders are dead. The pillars are shaken. The foundations are laid bare. But he lives. He is the same. He does not forsake his church. And just as he loved you from eternity, he loves you today, and he will love you forever. On the first day when you and I get to finally walk through the gates of heaven, I know there's going to be a strong urge in each one of us to rush to the throne of Christ to express to him our great gratitude, because it is his blood alone that brought us into this beautiful paradise where we get to live forever. But there's also going to be a second urge soon after that to turn and find those great leaders in our background that helped lay that rope of Christ in front of us. Amen.